على عباده الذين اصطفاه. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة. صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us, not to deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings. The more shukr we make, the more gratefulness and gratitude we show, the more we secure the blessing, and Allah ta'ala increases it for us. So let us not take for granted any of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and brothers, as we speak now, we know that the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through dire straits. If you take your finger and put it on any part of the map, the world map, it will fall on a Muslim country, and there are some major, major issues that are taking place there. And we as an ummah, when we see what is happening there, we hear about it, and in this day and age of social media, sometimes we can't even look at the clip. It is just too horrendous to see buildings being bombed down and small little children being carried out of the rubble and people just seeing their homes being destroyed in front of them. And then somewhere along the line we feel, okay, that country, it has now happened, and now things seem to be taking a lull, and then we find again another upheaval somewhere. So the present crisis that we are going to talk about today, which our respected learned Maulana Yusuf Saab made reference to in the Eid Bayan, and which we are all following every day with bated breath, is the crisis in Kashmir. And we all, alhamdulillah, we know if we have to trace our roots, we all go back, most of us, to the subcontinent. And when we speak about Kashmir, normally, because many of us don't know the political setup there and the history and the crisis that has been going on there for the past 70 years, we always have this beautiful picture, and people have been there, of this beautiful mountainous place with beautiful lush greenery, beautiful snow in the days of winter, huge and beautiful lakes. And that is the outward picture, my respected friends and brothers, of what is called Kashmir. But what is happening there, and Allah Ta'ala must not test the people again, and we make dua, is that if not started already, another major human-made catastrophe is on the door and on the threshold of our Muslim brethren in Kashmir. It is our ummah, it is our people that are going to be suffering. And we're not over with this and we find another one. And my respected friends and brothers, before we see or discuss what exactly is happening, many of us might be following it in the media also. It will be important that if we know a little bit of history leading up to the present crisis. And this is important because then we can relate and we can make dua. And there's nothing more powerful in terms of a weapon for a believer. We're so far away from there than to make dua. So inshallah, my respected brothers, we'll just throw a little light on some aspects so we as a ummah can be up to speed and up to scratch of what is going on there. And when we receive these clips that come our way, we need to forward them. Also, we must remember, because we are living in a country of, we can call now, you know, Muslims, and they are Hindus also, we do not want to import a problem from there to here in this way that we start becoming antagonistic and having enemies with the Hindus. No, it is nothing about them. We still maintain our cordial and our good relationship with them. So we'll be careful what we post sometimes and what we say, because we don't want to fight with the local people here. We don't want to start the Third World War here in our country. What we need to know is that this is a political problem that goes back many, many years. So, if we look at the history of Kashmir from 9th century onwards, up till the partition of India, partition refers to 1947, when India received its independence from Britain, and then 1948, when we find that now the partition took place between India and Pakistan. From that 9th century, coming down to the 19th century, we find that Kashmir was under different dominations, different political and religious influences. There were Hindus known to be there at that time. Then after that, it was taken over by Buddhists. So there was a Buddhist presence there. After that, it was taken over by Muslims. And the Muslims, that is under the Mughal Empire, if you read our Indian history, very interesting. Under the Mughal Empire, for 5 centuries, the Muslims were in Afghanistan and they were contributing towards the upliftment of that place of Kashmir. They were in there. And then after that, the Afghanis also took over for a while. And then after that, we find the Sikhs, S-I-K-H. Many of us who have been to India will know what the Sikh religion is, how those people look and whatever it might be. But they also had a very strong influence in the Kashmir region at that particular point in time. And then they were running it. Now, when they were in ruling it at that time, my respected friends and brothers, around that time, the British had 2 systems of running India. One is, it was called British India. That means they run the show there. They came from Britain, conquered and did whatever. But there were certain areas of India, up to 556 areas, that were given a certain kind of autonomy. This is important. This is where the whole Kashmir problem actually starts. So what it was, the different parts of India, which were called princely states. Meaning what? That the British said, okay, you know what? You are indirectly under us, but we will give you the autonomy to rule this area here. So the local person was taken from there, and then he used to run, and where it was a Muslim influence, he used to run according to Islamic law and all these type of rules and laws and were promulgated according to them. But there was an interference by the British crown if and when the need arose. But these were called, we'll use the Arabic word, they were called riyasats, princely states. The British said not, they will never say these people that are kings there, because king is sitting in England, only king is there, nobody else is king. So all these fellows that were given the opportunity to rule in this parts of India, different regions, they were called princely states. And the governor or whoever was given that opportunity to run it, he was then running it, alhamdulillah. And they were paid also, they were paid. So we find this term Raja and Maharaja and Nawab and Sardar and all those type of things coming, not you Sardar, right? All of them coming about. It came out because of the position that these people held. Different terms. Even the Hindus had different terms and whatever it might be. So in this way, mashallah, we find that a lot of these areas run. Then when came the period of the partition, now what to do? So at that time, most of these, what we call princely states, they ceded their regions to India because Britain now pulled out. They said, we're going away now. We're going from here. So what happened now? The Union of India was formed. Under that, my respected friends and brothers, a lot of these independently run princely states were given an opportunity to decide what they want to do. So most ceded. They said, okay, we are going to go under the Union of India. Some of them, the major ones, one of them was Kashmir. Then there were others, for example, Hyderabad and a few other areas. So nevertheless, the area of Kashmir at that time, my respected friends and brothers, was under the rule of the Sikh ruler. And he was what we call the Maharaja. Now what to do with Kashmir? Do I give it to India? Do I opt for independence? And Pakistan was just formed at that time. Do I go over to the Pakistani side? That was the whole problem there. So he was dealing, other people all gave their regions up, and the area of Kashmir was not decided. And the Pakistani people at that time felt that the majority of people, population of Kashmir was Muslims. 77%. 1941, the British census was 77% of Kashmiris were Muslim, 20% were Hindus, and the remaining 3% were Buddhist and Sikhs and a few other people. That was about it. So everybody felt that it should go on to the Pakistani side. The Maharaja, his name was Hari Singh. Maharaja Hari Singh, he decided that he was going to opt for independence, so he did not cede it to India. And this is where the Pakistanis came and they said, no, the influence of Pakistan is much more Muslims are here, it has to go. It has to go on to the Pakistan side. That was the time when India came and they said, we are going to get involved here. And that was the time when this Maharaja Hari Singh, he handed over, he ceded what is called instrument of access to India, that I'm going to give this thing over to India. But already there was a major dispute there. And India immediately sent its forces. So now what happened? Kashmir is no longer independent, not taken over by Pakistan, and it's in dispute with regard to India itself. So there was a major dispute. Actually, two wars were fought there. One was in 1965. The only people who know about it. And one is recent as 1999. Also, it was a major skirmish. But alhamdulillah, it also brought under control. So because of this dispute that came about, it was finally decided, let us ask the people of Kashmir, what do we do? India saying, we want you. Pakistan saying, come on our side. And what do the people of Kashmir? So it was supposed to be a referendum. You hear this word very often in the media called a plebiscite. That means the people of Kashmir will decide where they want to go, whether they want to join India, whether they want to go to Pakistan's side, or whether they want to go to, they want to remain an independent state. And in this skirmishes, there was certain area that was already taken over by Pakistan. So that area you will see and you will read in the news is called the line of control. The line of control is a temporary line demarcating Indian-occupied Kashmir and Azad Kashmir, which is on the Pakistani side. That is called the line of control. So that is the Pakistan side of Kashmir. There is no problem there. Then on the eastern side of Kashmir, remember Kashmir is right on top, northern part of India. And one of the reasons the British weren't very generous people, when they did something, they had a motive behind it. So why did they give this particular status of princely state to Kashmir? Because they needed a buffer zone, because after the northern areas of India end, where Kashmir ends, there's China on that side, there's Russia on that side. So it served as a very nice buffer. So say we give this people, they will keep like guard there for us, you see. So that's why they had their own motive for giving it to the people of Kashmir as such. And now we find that the eastern border is, part of it has been ceded to China. So there's dispute there also with India. On this side we have the Azad Kashmir area, and then we have the southern part of Kashmir, which is called Jammu, which is now coming down into India. So nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, because this area was disputed and there was no final referendum which the UN had decided should be carried out, for some reason that referendum never ever happened. It was always blocked. It was always something until this day from the past 70 years. It just never happened, my respected brothers. So what happened is that now these people here are neither here nor there. The referendum is not taking place. And we find that India, in the meantime, sent a whole lot of forces, as we hear regularly, that the most militarized zone in the world is Kashmir. The amount of soldiers and the amount of military hardware that is parked off there. So from that time, as we were growing up, and many of us will know, that we hear that this happened in Kashmir yesterday and this happened last week, there is an ongoing onslaught against the population of Kashmir by the Indian Army. There are permanent forces that are stationed there, and they harass them, they abuse them. There have been so many rape cases of our mothers and sisters there. There has been destruction of village, and there has been imprisonment. There have been people that have gone missing. Not very long time ago, they found a mass grave of people that were missing, about 1,700 or something like that. All of them had bullet wounds on them. Who shot them? How they got shot? It all goes back to the track record of these forces that are there that have been carrying out these atrocities against the Muslimin. And so it's carrying on continuously. So it's not that Kashmir is an area that was very nice and peaceful, apparently all that beautiful pictures that we see. Inside it is burning, my respected friends and brothers. Those people are at all times under difficulty. During our days when we were studying back in India, we used to have friends who came and studied from there. They used to tell us some bad stories also of how much of zulm that is taking place and how much of poverty and all whatever else it might be. Now, what is important is that what is the final agreement until the referendum takes place is they said, okay, Kashmir will be given a special status. That means a certain amount of autonomy where they will now decide their own matters. So a lot of their laws in it will not come directly from the central government. They'll decide it themselves. That's the one thing. And the second thing was that when it comes to developing the place and the settlements, then no one from outside has got the right to come and settle and do things there. They will have the right to preserve and look after it, and they will develop the economy and the land of that area there. So the first one was called Article 370. Everybody here, what is this Article 370A? Article 370A is now cancelled, where the special agreement between Kashmir and Indian government existed. No more special status. And must remember, Indian government did not give them the special status. This special status was by agreement because they were not decided this way or that way, independent or not independent, and because of that line of control and all the other disputes that came about, they said, okay, we will run under you, but indirectly we will have certain amount of rule from you, but the rest we'll do ourselves. So that one, 370A, is actually abolished. And then Article 35A, which you read about, is with regard to the settlements, my respected friends and brothers. As from now, you have no right to decide who settles there. So what's going to happen, Allah don't let it happen, is a repeat of what happened in Palestine. What happened in Palestine, it's a whole story which we know. The Muslims were persecuted, and there were different groups of and terror squads by the state that came, and they terrorized people, that they left their homes and they ran. And they were told, just go away for now, you can come back later on. And those people never ever got back. We know, we met so many people, you also know about them. They say we were living in a certain village and we had to run. Until today we didn't go back there. So my respected friends and brothers, that is the fear. The other thing is that one other angle is the great water resources that are found in India. They all come from the mountains in the Himalayas, the Hindu Kush mountains and all the other ranges that are there. The beautiful water in that comes. And this is also a war and a fight about water. So that's another angle to it, which we're not going to go into now. What we are going to say, my respected friends and brothers, is we just need to be aware of the situation. And first and foremost is tell the others about it. Inform our children. We don't want to see another Palestine. We don't want to see another upheaval in the form where our people are going to be murdered and killed, which is happening on a smaller scale, but it must not happen, my respected brothers. We know at this point in time there's a curfew there. For today, the curfew was lifted because there is Independence Day celebrations. And then there is no internet, there is no landline, there is no any kind of communication. Everybody is kept in the dark. There's a curfew there continuously. So Allah alone knows what's happening there. What do we do, my brothers? We make dua. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that when we make dua for our Muslim brother, then for one who is away from us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that dua, and an angel says also for you the same. And when these catastrophes and calamities come our way, my brothers, then it is something, we are people of iman, so it must bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say that it's a punishment. We have no right to say anything about anybody's punishment. We as believers, we say this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. And a believer, whenever he is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he only comes closer to Allah ta'ala. Today, we know we just buried our young Muhammad, our Mikhail Muhammad Hussein, Allah give him high stages in Jannah. What a tragedy for us, for the family. But we know, mashallah, that the sabr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them and will grant them, inshallah, it will only bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our du'as are with the family also at this point in time, that whenever any calamity, tragedy hits us as believers, we make sabr and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is Allah ta'ala's way, it's a disguise from him to actually bring us closer to him. So we make du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare the ummah, protect the ummah.